Turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is on the throne.
Amen.
He always will. And we shall not be moved. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Psalm 77 on verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you comfort us. I pray, Father, that you comfort the hearts of all those that are here. I pray you work in our lives. Lord, help me to preach thy word. I pray that you be glorified above all things. I pray that you receive all the honor and glory. Praise your Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I began to look at the Psalms, and I came across this one, and it seemed to me like it was a transcript of the life of just about any saint. You know, one thing that I have found out that in life, we all go through troubles. We're not going to escape. And this is not David. His name is Asaph. That's how it's pronounced, Asaph. He wrote 10 of the Psalms. And of course, he was also, if you follow his life, you see that he was a musician. He was a singer. He played for David and Solomon. And we see him having problems. You know what I see in the scriptures? All Christians, all people that love God, they go through problems. That's what you see in the Bible. That's what I see in this life. God's people will go through many problems. But you know, first of all, I want you to turn to the book of Romans in chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Just to touch on a few verses. On verse 28, Romans 8, 28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to the scriptures. He says, for we know that all things work together for good. There's no human being in this life that's going to be going through problems and hardships and believe that verse. Now, once you come out of it, you'll believe it. Before you go into it, you'll believe it. But when you're going through the problems, there is no way you're going to say, all things are going to work for good. I'm in the middle of this problem. How can it be for good, Lord? And you begin to question. But you know, throughout the Bible, you see that all of God's people, they go through so much trouble and so much tribulation. Even the Apostle Paul, who is our example. He says on chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience bears me witness with the Holy Spirit that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. This is the Apostle Paul. He was always happy, but yet even in his happiness, he's saying, I have continual sorrow in my heart. And then he says, on chapter 8, verse 34, he says, who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? Do you have that thought in your heart? You need to perish it right now. You need to kick it out. You need to confess it as sin. There's none of us can say, I see condemnation. The Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? The verdict has already been given. The judge of all judges, the Supreme Court of not of the land, but of the whole universe, has already given its verdict. Nothing can separate you from God. Now let's go back to Psalm 77. Verse 1, he says, I cried unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice. It seems like this guy is going through so much distress. So much distress that he can't even think straight. He repeats the same thing 2 times. And this is what happens when you're going through so many problems. You don't even know whether you're coming or going. He says, I cried with my voice. Even with my voice, I have cried. But you know, if you're a Christian, if you're sitting here today and you know the Lord and you follow the things of God, you know that everything will be okay. Because he begins with prayer. You know, that if you can just pray, you know that this is the way to get up. This is where the Lord is going to begin to lift you up. The Bible says that a just man falleth 7 times. He doesn't say a just man might fall. He doesn't say a just man could fall. He says a just man falleth 7 times and he rises. You know what he tells me? You're going to fall. We all fall. But let me tell you, once you begin to pray, beloved, you're on the way up. It doesn't matter what sorrow falls in your lap. It doesn't matter what bad news you have been given. If you pray, you're going to come out of it. Just take Jonah for example. This is a guy, if you read the scriptures, if you read his story, he was just a rascal. He was just rebellious. He was stiff-necked. He didn't want nothing to do with the things of God. He was so rebellious that he said he would rather die. He'd say, just throw me overboard. I would just rather have suicide than to serve God. And yet, even when he went out and preached, and he was already out of the belly of the whale, he went out and preached. He preached a sorry message. He wouldn't even meditate enough to give a straight message, to even put some thought behind it. He didn't really care about anything. Yet, when he was in that belly of the whale, he cried out, and the Lord heard him. You know what I know? It doesn't matter how deep you go. There is no valley so deep. There is no ocean so deep. There is nothing, no cave so well hidden that God cannot hear you. If he could hear Jonah from the belly of the whale, then he can hear you anywhere. All you need to do, beloved, is you need to call on God. That's exactly what the Lord says. He says, call unto me, and I will answer. I'm so glad that the Lord is not like most of us who have answering machines. When I call, it's the answering machine that answers for you. I'm tired of having to hear, your call is very important, but we are experiencing a large volume of calls. Can you please stand still? Can you imagine if God would have his angels saying that? God says that your call is very important, but can you please wait? We got too many calls. I'm glad that he answers the phone. I'm glad that he doesn't only say, just call me, I'll answer. I'll also do wonderful things. Things that you didn't even know. That's what we have to do. We have to put all our cares on the Lord Jesus. But you know, it says on verse 2, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. You know, there are times when nothing will comfort you. Some of you, I know, have gone through trials so hard that nothing anybody can tell you can comfort you. And then to come and say, I know how you're feeling, if you haven't been in those shoes, if that hasn't happened to you, that should not be your remark. But you know what the Bible tells me? You can weep with those that weep. You can mourn with those that mourn. You can love your brethren. And you can also pray for them. You can pray that the Lord God, who is the only one that can help, will give them the peace that passes all understanding. Look at verse 3. I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Is it right to complain? Is it right to question the Lord? You know what I see in the scriptures? The Lord complained. He says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Those are the words of David. He wrote it in Psalm 22. He says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I really believe that the Lord said it, first of all, to fulfill what he had to fulfill, but also so that we would know that he would be forsaken while he would take upon all the sins of the world. He needed to be forsaken. God could not stand to see all the sin placed in his son. Nevertheless, he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, but the also, beloved, the question, I believe, is also the cure. What patient would go to a doctor and be handed the sentence of death and be told that you have a terminal disease or you have this that's not going to go away? Would you just get up and leave? Wouldn't you question that physician and say, "But sir, how did it happen? Or what are my chances? Do you think I can, is there any medication? Is there any new thing coming up? Anything that can cure me?" These are questions. This is normal for somebody to ask. And of course, it's also normal to ask the Lord, to question the Lord. "Why me, Lord? Why am I going through this? Why did it have to fall on me? Lord, I can't handle it." But you know, I also remember Job. Job had so many things happen to him. He lost everything. He lost his children, lost all the livestock, lost their territory, and then wind up getting afflicted. And the Bible says that he got mad. He cursed the day that he was born. Nevertheless, the Bible says, in all these, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And this is where it's at. You can question the Lord. You can ask, "Why me? Why this? I can't take it no more." But to charge God foolishly, and this is what the world does. I have been at many places where tragedy has just stricken, where somebody has just gotten killed or something very terrible has happened. And this is the same pattern. This is the pattern that we all go through. The first thing is crying. The next thing is we begin to plead. We begin to argue our case. And the next thing you know, many people will say, "God, why did you allow this? God, it's your fault. That's foolish. That's something that we should not think that way." That's what the Bible says when he says, "Nor charge God foolishly." In other words, we can say or ask questions, and the Lord is the only one that's really going to give you the answer, but to charge God with something, you don't do that, beloved. But you know, I also think about a verse that I saw in Job. I've got it underlined. I've gone through many of my Bibles and all of them have it underlined. There's a verse that always has touched me. Job also said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." I don't think he was talking about his land. He was not talking about the livestock. I really believe that he can also handle the fact that he had been inflicted with the boils and sores. But when it comes to your children, what father is there that he would not give his life for his kids? I had preached one Sunday morning and I mentioned that I love my children. And that afternoon, Brother Don Dalros walked in and he said, "Brother, I believe exactly what you said. I love my children. They are my life." And I said, you know, that's so much like a father. That's what we all think. What father would not want the best for his children? We go all out to get them in life, to see them succeed in life. Yet, he said, "The thing which I greatly feared, that which I was afraid is come unto me." But you know, it goes on to say, Selah. And every time there's a Selah in the Bible, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a different trend. There's going to be a different strain. It's going to go a different note. And look at what he says on verse 4. Thou holdest my eyes waking. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. He said, thou holdest mine eyes waking. You know, this morning at 12 midnight, I have been studying all afternoon, and it's already 12 midnight, and I'm still meditating in the Word. I digest the Word very slowly. Maybe I'm just too slow, but that's what the Lord has given me. I have to work with that. And at 12 midnight, my blood pressure is so high, I check it, and I'm 172 over 102. And of course, I take three different types of medication. I had already taken two, but I'm not taking the last one, the one that knocks me out. It always puts me to sleep, so I'm saying, Lord, I need to study. I've got too many hours. And yet my blood pressure is too high. But you know, I can fight sleep, but I can't fight that blood pressure. So I said, Lord, I'm taking this pill. I need my blood pressure down. 30 minutes later, it was down to normal. About 2:30, 3:30 in the morning, I fell asleep. I don't even know how. I wake up at 4 o'clock, and I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I keep on reading and studying, and at 5 o'clock, I'm still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. At 6 o'clock, I'm still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I said, Lord, thank you for this miracle. This is what I needed. I could not afford to go to sleep. This is what this psalmist is saying. Thou holdest my eyes waking. Maybe we think that this is just something very minor, but God helps us all the time. We call upon Him, and He's always ready to help us. Now, most of us would like to go through the troubles, and we want the Lord just to come and get us out of that trouble and take us out and put us somewhere, and He's not going to do it. He doesn't do it with the saints. He's not going to do it with you. But let me tell you, beloved, He's going to walk with you.
Amen.
He's going to hold you by the hand. And when you can't walk no more, then He'll carry you. But you can rest assured that He will hear you, just like He heard me last night. When I said, Lord, I can't do it. I'm too tired. My blood pressure is very high, and He woke me up. But you know, He says, I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. You would think that He would say, I am so troubled that I cannot sleep. No, He can't sleep. He can't speak. Aren't you glad that the Lord gives us a spirit that speaks to God? Even with our groanings, and I'm so thankful that the Lord understands your groanings. I'm so glad that the Lord will hear the intents of your heart, that He will hear you even when you can't even speak. But you know, I'm just so glad that the Lord knows our thoughts, He knows our fears, He knows our feelings, and He can also be touched by our infirmities. Look at verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. He's communing with his heart. I hope you have put the Word of God in your heart. Because there's going to be times in your life, maybe sooner, maybe later, but it's coming, when you're going to be thinking, well, you don't have nothing else to do. You can't go to nobody else. You can only talk to God. And then you'll be searching your heart and communing. But if the Word of God is not there, what are you going to do? I'm so thankful that I have put some verses in my heart. I'm so thankful that I can remember what He says. He will never leave me nor forsake me. When the times are real hard and the trial is so heavy, and the burden, you can't stand it, but you can say, Lord, you said you wouldn't forsake me. I'm going to stand on that promise. You'll be able to say that He cometh to me, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm so glad that verse is there. I know that I will never be cast out. It doesn't matter what kind of problems I go through. I know He won't cast me out. I also like the verse that says, I stand at the door and knock. I know that He's just right outside. He wants to come and talk to me. He wants to commune with me. Oh, beloved, if you would only know that. The Lord's always ready to talk to you. He's always ready to listen. He's never too busy that he can't talk to you or listen to your problems. I also like the verse he says, come unto me all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you heavy laden this morning? I know many of you are. A lot of us are. But we have a Lord that listens. We have a Lord that will lighten the load. We have a Lord that will hold your hand. We have a Lord that will take you through all these problems. Just like David would say, have mercy upon me, O God. Wash me. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Create in me a clean heart, and renew in me a right spirit. But let me read now verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? You know what question he forgot? He forgot to say, have I lost my mind? Because that's exactly where he's heading. He's coming to the point of just barely before stepping over the borderline. Before he accuses God, he's just one step away. Is not that how a lot of you are? How far can I go, Lord? How far can I go in romance? How far can I go with drugs? How far can I go on so many things, on sin? You're asking questions and you're thinking that I just want to make sure I'm on this side. You ought to just be running from sin. But you know, Asaph must have been going through so much trouble. But how much trouble can you go that you come to the point of almost accusing God? He says, has God forgotten to be gracious? Why don't you look at Calvary? You want to see graciousness in action? Look at Calvary. Didn't Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After they had already beaten him and stripped him and done all kinds of things and nailed them to the cross, where he doesn't even look like a man, and yet that's graciousness in action, where he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We ought not to ever think the way this brother was thinking. But you know, he also says Selah again. It seems to me that he caught himself. He realized, I'm at the borderline. He examined himself. And all of a sudden, you see that he rebukes himself. I can't be crossing this line. Look what he says on verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. You notice that all of a sudden he changed his mind. He realized he was already at the borderline, ready almost to jump to the other side. And then he realized, you know what? This is my infirmity. This is what I've been handed. This is what has fallen on my lap. This is what I'm going to have to contend. And immediately he said, you know, I will remember the years. It's not I will remember the moment. It's not I will remember that particular day. I will remember the years. The Lord has been so gracious with you. The Lord has blessed you so much. I found some pictures of me and my wife when we were young. I must have been about 5 years old, 6 years old. And my wife's also got a picture like that. And I'm just as serious as can be, like usual. And she's just as smiling, you know, like all the time. And every day I got it in my office now where I can see it every day. Every time I look at it, it just brightens up my heart. Just to see that picture of old. Just to bring memories. Or just to see my grandchildren or my children when they were young. You go to the Kincaid's house and you'll see the pictures of all their children scattered all over. This is why they're always happy. This is because they see, oh, I remember that. I remember those days. We can remember the years. That's what the psalmist is saying now. I remember the years of the things that you gave me from your right hand. Forget the things from the left. We don't want to remember the things that we had bad problems. We all have had problems. But you know what brightens the heart? You know what brings joy to you is when you remember the good things. And that's what I like to remember. That's why when I see my wife, even though I didn't know her, and we didn't know each other until we almost got married, we went together for 10 months, but nevertheless, I see her, you know, in her little braided hair, and she looks so Mexican-y, and so happy. And it just brightens my heart. I smile every time I look at her picture. It just gives me joy. And I say, wow, look at the years. Who would have thought that these two little Mexicans would get together and now we got six grandchildren? It's not just a day or two. It's years that we've been blessed. And this is what the psalmist is saying now. I will look at the right hand, what he has given me at the right hand through the years. I will remember the wonders. I will remember his works. You can go forever. You'll never finish remembering the things of God. We ought not to meditate on those things that are bad. This is the only way, beloved, that you will get some peace. But look at verse 10. It says, and I said in my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy ways, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. There is no end to this. You can just praise God forever. You can just praise God in your troubles. You can praise the Lord in your tribulations. Amen. The Bible says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. That nothing can separate you from the love of God. But you know, beloved, we see here on verse 16, the waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thy arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path is the great waters. And thy footsteps are not known. Who can trace the footsteps of God? You know, he's thinking about the time when they were brought out from Egypt. The time that they went through the Red Sea. Who knows the trace? Who can trace God? Who can trace his footsteps? He's everywhere. There is no place you can go that God is not there. The waters trembled. There's no valley so low that he will not flatten out. That he will not fill it up, or no mountain so high that he will not flatten it out. There is nothing impossible that the Lord won't do. But he says on verse 20, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know what he's saying here? The best of saints is no better than any other sheep. We're all in the flock. And we are all tempted. And any one of us can wander away and get caught in the briar. Any one of us can fall. That's why the Bible says in here that thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand. By the hand of Moses and Aaron. You notice that it's not Moses and Aaron that's leading, but it's God Almighty. It is the Lord Jesus, the one that leadeth you. It is not some pastor. It is the Lord that leads you. It is His word. This is what you need to put in your heart. And none of us can even say that we're the smartest sheep in the flock. None of us can say that we can wander away and nothing will happen to us. The Lord is the one that takes care of us. He is the good shepherd. He's the one that knows when one of us has gotten caught in the briar. He's the one that will come in and take us out and clean us. He's the one that brings us back to the flock. It is the Lord Jesus, beloved. But you know, maybe there's some in here that have not joined that flock. Maybe you're here and you have been playing religion. Maybe you're here this morning and you think that you can get away with so many things and the Word of God doesn't convict you. You believe that you can still just pretend and nothing will happen to you. This is very serious business. The Bible says that all you have to do is repent of your sins. On the other hand, this is very hard. Even though it's very easy to get saved, Jesus already did it all for you. He died on the cross. He paid for your sins. Nevertheless, some of you maybe might be thinking that you can just go on through life and just know the right words, but there hasn't been a change in your heart. And the next thing you know, you're in trouble. Everybody suffers. Your family suffers, your friends, your church. If there's anybody here that has not truly trusted in the Lord, you need to do it this morning. Amen. There's no time to play games. The time is late. I know that the Lord is coming soon, because even though we love our children like nothing else, the Bible also tells me that in the latter days, there's going to be some parents that are not going to have that natural affection. We're seeing that already. We're seeing the crime. We're seeing what goes on in this life. You don't have time to play around. If you're here this morning and you don't believe or you think that it's okay just to play religion, to come to church, you need to quit that. You need to repent of your sins. You need to accept Jesus as your Lord. You need to really mean it. You need to confess Him with your heart, not only with your lips. That's what this world is always, they all say the same thing. They say the words with their mouth, but their heart is far from the Lord. We need to get saved. If you're not saved this morning, call upon the Lord. Even there where you're sitting down, you can just talk to God. He's ready to listen. He says, call upon me and I will answer. All you have to say is, Lord, forgive me. I've been playing a hypocrite. I've been playing a game. I'm not really saved. There's no time to lose. The Lord might come any day now. You need to do business with God. Don't leave this building if you're not saved. If you still have questions, hang around and ask. We're going to stand up and sing. 249.